Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35, titled The Virgin Birth. Questions, comments, or prayer requests can be sent by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can write to us sending any check or money order contributions addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at bbfohio.com. And now we begin our study of the virgin birth in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35, and this is part 1 of 2. All right, we're in Luke chapter 1. You want to get your Bibles open and ready? Messages on the virgin birth as we've been singing. Be in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 35. And that's our current events update notification. Our current events this morning is that the gays, in quotes, because they're not gay, continue their child abuse agenda. For years, we've been called bigots and haters because we've warned of the fact that they want your children. They get in the schools and the churches, and most parents assist them in their abuse. I say most, probably a small majority, but it's still most of the parents in America are lying to their children and telling them that it's okay to be gay. They'll support them if they're gay, and not telling them that it's a deadly death style and that God calls it an abomination. It's wicked. And few churches are teaching their people on this, by the way. And so if you go to a church, if you want to know if you're in a fake church, go to a church and see in a few weeks if they address Sodom. And if they don't, then you're in a fake church. This is from the New American. Cartoon Network promotes LGBT pride to children. And there's a screenshot from the Twitter feed of Cartoon Network where it says, "We want to wish everyone a happy pride and encourage..." They just call it pride now. Just pride. "And encourage all of our LGBTQ plus fans to stand proud all year long. Hashtag pride. Hashtag happy pride. Hashtag power puppy yourself. Hashtag pride month. Hashtag power puff girls." And so...
That doesn't sound right. I thought they were sugar and spice and everything nice.
Yeah. I've told people for years, a lot of these cartoons, if you can't tell they're gay, there's something wrong with your gaydar. But there's a lot of queer stuff in that... And I don't mean just weird. That's the real meaning of the word queer. But this is from the article from the New American. It says in its series finale last year, the Cartoon Network show called Adventure Time featured two female characters kissing each other on the lips, apparently confirming years of viewer speculation that the two cartoon characters were lesbians. They're cartoon characters. They can't have sex. They're drawn by fags and queers and perverts, but they themselves, cartoon characters, can't be lesbian. Yep. The Christian Post noted that while the Cartoon Network's online store, quote, only sells to parents or adults, because, you know, it's such, because only parents and adults have bank accounts. Children are just a click away from seeing listings for Steven Universe LGBT pride pins or Steven Universe rainbow-themed Made of Love patch, and even a Steven Universe kissing tote bag. So there's your Power Puff Happy Pride symbol. You'll notice that the rainbow only has six because it's the man of sin is going to be a queer. The Antichrist will be gay and proud of it too. And where's Jenny... When I put this up, Jenny's favorite cartoon. And it's not to pick on Jenny. I just guarantee you, most of the stuff we're all watching is at some point going to come out like this.
Yeah.
And the hit cartoon series My Little Pony is going to debut a homosexual couple just in time. There she is.
I know, I just heard it. I'm annoyed. And I'm glad the show is ending.
But again, if you didn't know My Little Pony is gay, you do not even have a gaydar. It's about the gayest thing on TV. But because it originally was put out as kind of a thing for little kids, so that's how, well, it's for little kids, you know. But it's on an adult level, you know. A lot of the stuff anyway. So, it says, this is from Activist Mommy. How many of you have heard of Activist Mommy? She says this, and I agree with it. Well, it seems the progressives are once again going to take something innocent, sweet, and fun that children once could fairly safely enjoy as entertainment and completely ruin it by using it as a tool of normalization for sexual perversion. The cultural phenomenon known as My Little Pony, arguably one of the most popular animated series of the 2000s, which says a lot. I can understand the women, but there's a lot of men are into this. That's a problem. And it's something that over the years I've been criticized for telling men that they're acting like fags. Telling men you're watching homo stuff and enjoying it, there's something wrong with you. But you're not supposed to say that today. That's why I say it. It's set to end this year, but not before an upcoming episode debuts a same-sex couple aimed at indoctrinating young children to the idea that homosexuality is a normal and healthy expression of human nature. Newsflash, it isn't. And so, of course, we mentioned this. PBS Kids put a homo wedding in Arthur. That's what we're talking about. All these things. The problem is, we've been warned for years that most of the writers who control this stuff are sodomites. And so if the writers are sodomites, you can just put it on your calendar, just to wait and see. At some point, they're going to come out. I'm waiting to see Toy Story 4. If they're going to throw something in there. I haven't heard anything. But
they might not, though, because they are still appealing to fans who were around however many years ago.
So well, you guys will probably see it before me, so you let me know, okay?
Yeah. And Tim Allen's in there. He's
pro-gay. I like Tim Allen on a lot of things, but his shows had lesbian neighbors and, you know, all this stuff in his episodes. And we've turned off two or three episodes of Last Man Standing, just not watched it. I'm not going to watch that crap. I don't care who puts it on there. But overall, Last Man Standing has a pretty good show, and you know, it's just one of those things. Everything you're watching is going to have that. And hey, folks, it's just coming to fruition. Go watch MSNBC did a documentary on Jim Nabors, Gomer Pyle. Go watch that, and it'll show that they've known he was a sodomite all along, and Carol Burnett helped to make him the household. A household word, his name, you know, and had him on the show all the time. And, you know, that was the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, when they started packing Hollywood with all these sodomites and making them powerful, right?
And in regards to the whole entire thing, you know, there's a lot of people coming out against this, somebody in, I forget where, I think he was, California, but I think somebody was like
straight pride. Yeah, it was in Boston actually.
Boston. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of you see a lot of people, especially gay people, being like, boo.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it, Milo is supposed to be
the Grand Marshal, yeah. But that tells you something. Why would gay pride have anything to do with straight pride? Why do they have any problem with that? I'll tell you why, because they are never going to be satisfied, and I've been saying it for years. Everybody thinks, well, if we just let them get by with this, if we just give them gay marriage, they're never going to be satisfied until it's like Lot. And they're banging on the door to rape you and your family. Oh, you're crazy. Yeah, blow it out your ear. I know I'm not crazy. The Bible says it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Amen.
But people are just so dumb. I was saying the other day to James, people are just so dumb in this generation. Just so dumb. And so cowardice. So ain't got a spine. Won't stand up for anything anymore. And there's parents who know better are letting their kids just keep watching this stuff. Anyway, Luke 17:2, Jesus said, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones."
Amen.
There's a hot place in hell for not only the people making the cartoons, there's a hot place in hell for the terrible parents.
Amen.
Subjecting their children to this stuff. And on a more positive note, to end our current events update, the Department of Justice announced they arrested nearly 1,700 suspected child sex predators in the last 2 months. It's called Operation Broken Heart. And if you don't think that all the gay that you're seeing on television and all the gay in our schools and all the gay, as it's being called, everywhere, has anything to do with that, you're a fool. The more our culture goes gay, the more child abuse is going to happen. They go hand in hand. You go back to the old perverts like Plato and the philosophers of old, they all had them a young boy. That's a fact. They're all in hell. That's a fact. And their cultures went to hell and were destroyed. That's a fact. And America is going to be destroyed.
Amen.
America, your days are numbered. That's why everybody says, you really believe Trump's going to make America great again? Not on your life. The only reason I was so glad to see Trump elected was because it put the brakes on some things and it's a reprieve. But America is going to hell.
Amen.
And all the nations that forget God, according to the psalmist, going to hell. America's days are numbered, but what you and I can do, we can be salt, we can be light, and we can stem the tide until the rapture, and then it's going to hell.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have your hand up?
What is the professor's name at Ohio State that had 177 boys?
What was his name? Anybody recall?
He did that perverted stuff. And he was within his shot to kill himself.
Yeah. Look that up, or I'll try to remember to mention that in a current events, but it was at Ohio State. And for those of you who don't know, most of the propaganda and lies that we've all been taught about homosexuals comes from the Kinsey Report. And if I don't still have the video, we had a video, but the Kinsey Syndrome is the name of a documentary you ought to see. And you'll see that it was all a lie. And they claimed to have 10% of the population was supposed to be sodomite. It's a lie. And he used prison populations to do his study. And professors at the Indiana University and the Ohio State University molesting their own children.
Wow.
Then that book, based on prisoners and predators, child abusers, that became what your fake news media and your fake media all around dished out day after day, week after week, month after month. Psychology and the American Psychological Association, all of them, they adopted that propaganda and then based all of their findings and all of their treatments and everything on a complete, satanic, sick lie. Our culture in America is based on a lie.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah, John?
Yeah. Well, three different places where I am banned, it's all interconnected to gay.
Yeah.
All three.
Almost all the Laodicean churches, and by the way, the new Bibles, the new versions, you find there's all kinds of homosexuals that had their fingers and hands. Harold Wootstra, who worked on the NIV, he was having sex with men at New York bathhouses while working on the NIV. A few years later, he died of AIDS. Virginia Mellencott is a lesbian who worked on the NIV. She's still alive and boasting about it today. You can go, you'll look all this stuff up, you'll find out there's all kinds of sodomites involved in the new versions produced. But that's all we got time for this time. That's your current events update. Isn't it good to know God is in control? Amen?
Amen.
And what's wrong with Americans and most American churches today is they're ignorant. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge."
Yeah. Right.
And we don't want to be a part of that. Amen?
Amen.
So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time and Your Word. We pray that everyone listening understands that this book is Your book. It is perfect and infallible. And we submit our opinions, we submit our lives to this book. And when we don't, we pay the price. And so we're so thankful for Jesus who died on the cross and shed His blood to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And Lord, that He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And those of us who have repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in that gospel, we have eternal life. And this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And on our way, You've given us this manual for living called the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Help us to understand it with the help of Your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to talk about the virgin birth. We're going to read verses 34 and 35 to begin. Many times when I start to put the Bible study together, I intend on covering more verses. And then we get in here and see there's so much in here, we don't want to just hop, skip, and jump through it. So I'm just going to park here in verses 34 and 35 for a few minutes. If you would, if you're there, read that with me. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." God's people say amen.
Amen.
So we've calculated based on the previous info in the info in the previous 33 verses. What's taking place here with Mary is around what we now call Christmas time. Some of you call it December. Sometime early November, you'll hear around my house someone singing, "Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming." Amen. And if you don't, well, that's your problem. The decorations, I start putting the lights and things I put up in October because in Ohio you got to take advantage of decent weather. So then October I've got the lights. I don't turn them on. Some of you looking at me like, "You're one of them." No, I don't turn them on. I just get them up so I don't have to be out in the, you know, who knows, in Thanksgiving it would be sub-zero temperatures around Thanksgiving. So I get the lights up, and then Thanksgiving, just about Thanksgiving. But the day after, I get all the big life-size, you know, Frosties and all that, and put them out and plug them in, and nighttime comes the day after Thanksgiving. Bling! And it's just like a... Now, used to be, like Chevy Chase, when he turned his on, you remember that? And you see the thing, the electric bill goes... Yeah, mostly LEDs. Doesn't cost me hardly anything anymore. It goes up a little, but not a lot. Anyway, this is the chart we followed. We'll show you this. Up there at the top yellow is when Zechariah, you know, went mute. He's doing his priestly service. And that would have been, our calendar isn't exactly with the Jewish calendar. If you didn't know that, you learned something this morning. The Jewish calendar is different than our calendar, and so the dates every year will be different. And so Nisan 14 is the day of Passover, but as a, on our calendar, that could be any time in March and April. And so what do? You go to a website that shows you how those measure up. And sometime around Father's Day and the 4th of July was probably when Elizabeth became pregnant with John the Baptist. And that would have been in the beginning of the month Av. Then 6 months later, which would be around between Thanksgiving and Christmas on our calendar, that's when Mary actually got pregnant. You see that? So that's where we are now in our text. We're around November, December on our calendar. And by the way, it's 191 days until Christmas.
Amen.
And that looks a little bit like my front yard whenever after the day after Thanksgiving. We had snow, I think, this year or last year. It was the day that I turned it on. We had some snow, remember?
Oh, we had snow in November. We didn't have snow.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't say that. The day I turned the lights on, though, we had snow. And if you want to be accurate, some of you are real sticklers about this, well, then celebrate the conception of Jesus this December. I don't think they sell them, but you could get a Mary and maybe put a balloon and a covering over her, and she could be pregnant. And put a pregnant Mary out in your front yard. You'd be accurate. Don't do that. All right, so anyway, we get into the text here in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's asking a very good question. Now, I do want to point out that, you know, you go back to Zacharias. Remember, he got in trouble. But he got in trouble and went mute. Why? Because he didn't believe the Word of God. Now, Mary's not saying she doesn't believe the Word of God. She's saying, wait a minute now. You know, how's that going to work? Because I'm not married in the sense that you and I understand marriage. They were in a period of betrothal. And during the betrothal period, they still weren't living together or having sex. And it was a one-year period where they decided if they were really going to go through with this for a lifetime. And so she's asking a very good question. And there's nothing wrong with the question. She was still a virgin. And this fulfilled prophecy, as we read in Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Now that name, Emmanuel, means God with us. And Jesus is God with us. And you keep that in mind. In our previous study, we saw in Genesis 3:15, you remember, that the seed would be of the woman, not of a man. Remember that? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. See? No mention of a man involved here. Now, it's not a clear prophecy, but it's one that when you read Scripture with Scripture, you can see clearly what it's saying. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now you notice, it shall bruise the head of the serpent. And the it is her seed, not her. Mary doesn't bruise the head of the serpent, but it says her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Jesus, dying on the cross, and shedding His blood to pay for the sins of the world, and then rising from the dead, that even isn't what it's talking about. That produces what it's talking about. He will bruise Satan's head at the second coming. Amen. And it will be under our feet. Did you know that?
Amen.
Let me see. I didn't put the reference in there, but let's look. Romans 12, I believe. Is it right? Look at it, back me up there, Jenny, and look up bruise head in Romans. And I thought I had it written down here, and I don't, but I think it's in Romans 12. Do this little Bible study here. Go. No, look in Romans. Romans, Romans, Romans. I want to look at the ones in Romans. Shortly, I think. Oh, I was way off. Romans chapter 16, if you turn to Romans. Romans 16:20. Keeping in mind what you just read in Genesis 3:15. Her seed, it, shall bruise thy head. And that happens at the second coming. But in Romans 16:20, read that with me. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, what have been taught by people who deny the millennial kingdom, they want to deny there is actually any real second coming. They want to put the second coming as kind of like a big bang and it's over. Or at the end of the post-millennialists say that the church is somehow going to conquer the world for 1,000 years, and at the end, Jesus is going to return. And it doesn't teach that in the Bible anywhere either. When Jesus returns, who comes back with Him?
We do.
Yeah, there's some people who try to say, well, the Bible never says that's us in Revelation 19. It doesn't say, you know, this is you. I mean, it's not in that plain language, but it does teach that it's us on those white horses coming back with Jesus in the sky. And that's what it's talking about in verse 20 of Romans 16. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Why? Because it's going to be under our feet, below us, when Jesus speaks and the Antichrist is destroyed.
Amen.
Satan is thrown into a bottomless pit. The beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are thrown into a lake of fire. Satan is bruised by Christ under our feet. Amen? The Vatican cult perverts this to make Mary the one who bruises the serpent's head. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can bring it up. There's a picture of it. You'll find numerous pictures like this where Mary is the one bruising the serpent. She's standing on the serpent there, and with her big staff with the cross on it, she's got the head of the serpent. And there's all kinds of different pictures like that. Most of them during the Dark Ages, by the way. You know why they called it the Dark Ages? It wasn't dark outside all the time, like Alaska half the year. It was ignorance. Lack of truth. The Reformation was the light that ended the Dark Ages. Amen? And this book, King James Bible, authorized version of 1611, was the light of the Reformation. This book, not the other English translations or any other translation on the planet, no book like this one,
Amen.
Brought an end to the Dark Ages. And you know why we're going into a new Dark Age? Because this book is being rejected, not only by American unbelievers, but even in the churches today. You go to most churches, you get a piece of garbage that has been put out, copyrighted, so that the publisher can make money. I've had even people who aren't King James only, like we are, say, I don't understand why they have so many. Why do they need so many? I said, it's not a matter of need, it's a matter of greed.
Yeah.
One publishing house puts out a NIV. I think that was Zondervan.
Yep.
And then it was bought out by Harper's Collins, who also puts out the Satanic Bible. Why? Because it's not about the Bible, it's about money. If they can sell you an NIV or a Satanic Bible, they don't care as long as they make the money.
Yep. Exactly.
Then another publishing house puts out, I think it was the Lockman Foundation, puts out the New American Standard.
Yep.
And then Thomas Nelson puts out the New King James. And I think they might also put out the Living. And one after another. Then the denominations get in the act. Of course, the New Revised Standard is from the National and World Council of Churches. They own the copyright and make all the money. So the Southern Baptists had to get in on the act, and they put out the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which has now been updated and now just called the Christian Standard Bible. They own the copyright and make all the money. There's only one reason you have a whole wall of different translations. If you buy them, you're the reason. They are for suckers. They made all those new translations so you would spend money. And they also adopted the Vatican Codex text. Why? Because the received text gave us the King James Bible. Then apostate scholarship gave us the Vatican Codex. Go look it up. Go look up the history. The first major abandonment of the King James Bible was in 1881. And a man named...